the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I purposely didn't eat anything yet, Colfax. So we're eating at 3, so I haven't had anything today.
Nothing?
Nothing at all. Zero coffee. I've had coffee.
I've had coffee, too.
Yeah. I don't know if that helps or hurts with nothing else. Have you had anything?
No, I just coffee. But no, I'm breakfast? Buzzing right now like crazy, yeah. And my stomach is empty, so it's, I can't wait to eat.
So is that going to hurt the review? We're going to Michael Oliver's Public House in Fort Collins. That's where we're headed. A lot of pork. There's a lot of pork, a lot of bacon stuff, whiskey, beer. I mean, it all sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So is that going to is this going to hurt us or?
Well, they always say don't go to a grocery store when you're hungry, right? Is this the same thing? I don't think so.
It could be. Yeah.
Because at this point, we can't overdo it. We'll just keep ordering. And you said you were buying, so I'm just definitely going to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at that point, you know, we could share a hot dog. Okay. You know, cut it down the middle. Cut it in sections because we're bringing Chad Young along with us.
Expert chef,
master chef, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square. Tanner's coming along, too. I don't even know if he wants me to promote that. I don't know if he wants. I'm not sure.
Well,
he wants to be the man behind the story. That'll be his story. The man behind the story. Oh. William Oliver's Colorado Pub and Eatery. I mean, like I said, dude, I'm looking at these gourmet hot dogs, and that sounds pretty good. Listen, I'm not a reviewer. I'm not a critic. I'm just a regular dude, maybe a little below average. But they're going to be still, like, if it's bad, we're going to say it. Yeah. And we're going to do a simple rating system, 1 being the worst place in the world. You never should go there. Don't even know how this place is open. 10 being, this is my new spot. So it's going to be 1 through 10. Anything above a 5 is probably pretty good. Anything below a 5 is probably not very good. And if it's 5, it's probably meh.
Right in the middle.
Gets the meh. I don't know, man. I'm hearing really good things about this place. I probably shouldn't be on their website right now. WilliamOlivers.com. They have another place in Lafayette, too. So hopefully I got the right one. Hopefully I booked it at the right place.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be tough. We show up and it's like, it's in Lafayette. You guys are going to have to go down there. It says this is the best bacon that you're ever going to have, so you have to have some bacon.
Making the claim that you have the best bacon is quite a lofty claim.
The pictures look good.
I'm sure.
I mean, they look really, but that's how they get you.
Is there bad bacon?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
How about microwave bacon?
I had
that as a poll question the other day, or a long time ago.
Okay. I don't remember. I don't remember that.
I don't think it was on the show. I think I tweeted it and did a poll. I was too lazy to actually put it on the site and stuff. Gotcha. You have had microwave bacon?
It cooks it perfectly
it's
and quickly.
It's almost just as good.
It's not bad.
I know. People think that's a bad thing to say, but yeah.
I've got nothing against the microwave.
No, you get to know the microwave pretty good when you can't make anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know my way around a microwave, man. I can get the job done in that bad boy. I mean, I don't know. It's a whiskey place. I mean, they're known for their whiskey, but they also, it's a pub. They're going to have beer there. So what are you going to do? You're going to go with a beer? You're going to go with one of the famous whiskeys?
I think a cocktail bar, you have to go for the cocktail.
I think you do.
I mean, that's where you really find out what they're made of, because you can order a good beer in a lot of places, for sure.
Yeah.
And I do, frequently. But finding a good cocktail is a little more difficult. You got to go seek that out.
Yeah, you do.
And a place that claims good cocktails.
That's a good point, because a lot of places you go to, they can just order beer from the breweries around, and so you're not really reviewing their beer.
Exactly.
I mean, you can mention it and say, well, it's beer from Crabtree or Wiley or whatever, but do they really get kudos? I guess they get some kudos because they
sought
it out and they brought a good beer in.
Absolutely.
And so people have asked us what these reviews are going to be. It's going to be a little bit of everything. I mean, we're going to review the situation. I mean, when you get there, what does it look like? Is parking good? Is it in a place that's kind of sketch? Is the interior cool? Or is there a blinking light above your head and you kind of feel like you're in that movie, like a Halloween movie or something? And then is the food good? Is the service? I don't think the service is going to be an issue for us, to be real honest. So I will kind of throw that out because we're going from the whole show, man. I mean, they're going to wait on us. They'll take care of
us. They're going to roll out the carpet.
Yeah, they'll be fine. We're going to get there. They're going to be like, huh? The what show? The whole show? Huh? What's that?
Is that about boats?
Is it the boat show? Yeah, we're the guys with the boats. Yeah, we're here. But that's the idea. And so I tweeted it out. I was basically, I said, first one to suggest a place, that's where I'm going. So this is what popped up first.
Boom.
William Oliver's Colorado Pub and Eatery. I've never been.
Neither have I.
And I got to tell you, I live in Timnath, right, basically Fort Collins. And I've talked to a lot of people that have told me that they don't know about this place. So maybe the knock will be, where's your marketing? You know, and well, I'm just throwing that out. I don't know, because I've had people go, I think I've heard of it, but I've never actually been there. So they've only got the two spots, or is it, it's not a chain anywhere, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
I mean, we'll review chains. I have no problem. Yeah. I mean, I like to do local as much as we possibly can. But,
right.
I mean, if I get enough people throwing a McDonald's at me, we'll stop by. No, I think it's got to be somewhat unique.
I think so.
It's got to be, you know. So, again, they can have a few different restaurants. We'll try. We're going to – breweries are in there.
Yep.
Food trucks. Seriously. We'll go sit and we'll find a food truck. We'll track it down and we'll do that too.
Like a brewery food truck. Double win.
Could kill two birds with one stone in one review.
Boom.
And that's going to be the beauty of it. So we'll do a Facebook Live out there. We'll do one of those just for fun, maybe one or two. But we'll get out the full video review, edited and all that stuff, ready to go.
And what was I going to say?
You had something.
I was going to say something.
Something
great.
To add on to the review.
Fantastic. I'm sorry.
Oh, now I want to know so badly.
Oh, I was going to say, so what? What makes you qualified for this, Brady? Why do you want to do this?
Because I like going to restaurants, and I think people want to know, like, not just is it the best hot dog you've ever had in your life, because that's always going to be subjective. But I'm giving you the rundown of it. I had a person tell me yesterday, they're like, you know, I've had so many places that I hear tavern, and I go in, and there's no TVs. And I'm, like, ready to have a beer and watch the Rockies game. And I didn't know that they didn't carry the Rockies game. Like, those are little things that we're going to find out. Oh, hey, they subscribe to Dish, and they do carry all the Nuggets games in here. Like, those are things that I think the average guy – I mean, Colfax, I never played college sports either. I never played professional sports. But yet, we talk about sports
right
all day. So it's a fan's perspective here. Why not be a fan's perspective out there?
I love it.
And how, you know, you're like this. Everybody's like this. You want to go out to eat. You're ready to go. And then you think of the same four spots that you always go.
Yep.
And I think that more people are like that. And so the idea is if you follow us at the whole show, follow our pages, you'll get to see these. And we'll keep the reviews up. So you can go to – we're going to create a webpage on thewholeshow.com. And you can basically see that list from a regular dude that's ranking these. And you might go, hey, that sounds like a legit place to go. And so that's
like the everyman review,
pretty much
the everyman take.
Pretty much. I did a poll or a question yesterday. Is what are you looking for? And you'd be surprised. Most people don't really write the food. I mean, you own a restaurant. If you've been around for a little bit, you probably got the food thing figured out.
I would hope so.
It's everything else. I mean, there could be bad food, but I mean, if you have a restaurant that's been in business for five plus years.
Probably not going to have terrible food.
I would imagine not, because you're gonna go to bad. You're gonna go to places that are dumps,
just to get the
food good, right?
Right.
But I'm not going to go to a place that's like the most beautiful place in the world if the food's like terrible, like
exactly.
Awful. I mean, that's going to
food
ruin
is
the
almost
experience.
It's the baseline. You have to have
that
decent food.
You
got to
have that,
and then on top of that, it's the atmosphere, it's the comfort, it's the service.
Yeah.
And highlighting all those things.
Yeah.
The other things at restaurants.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. First one's today, and then that video will be out in a week or two.
My mouth is watering.
Yeah, it is. We probably shouldn't have done that at this point. So look it up. I'll be curious, too. One of the things I'm going to ask the Hooligans, if you guys go to a place that I go, how do I stack up? How does my review stack up to your review? And now, would you guys go with me on that? That's why I'm leaving 1 to 10. I think 1 to 5, like the 5-star rating... You're either amazing, average, or bad.
And it's too big of a jump between.
Way, yeah. So I want to get, like, if I give it a 7, that's damn good.
Yeah.
You know, 10 is, like, it's a must.
Near perfect.
It's, like, everything about it is perfect.
Are you getting into decimals? 9 points.
It might get into decimals.
Okay.
Might do that. I've never eaten at a 10. I don't have a restaurant in my mind right now that I would give you a 10. Would you?
They'd have to have everything.
I mean, there's a lot of places I like to go.
I've had like some 9.8s.
I've had some 9s, probably 8s.
Yeah.
But I don't. There's like places I like to go that I still wouldn't go. Oh, well, you know, the food there's either really good or maybe it's just the location. Like, I'll give you a chain. Like, Old Seas is really cool.
Yeah,
pizza's pretty good.
Decent.
But the location's cool. I like the setup in their bars typically.
set up. They have tons of beer.
Yeah. Got a lot of beer to choose from.
And for being a chain, I will say something. They highlight local beers, yeah, which is really cool.
And that's another good thing. So, yep. See, those are the things we're going to do.
Look at that, guys. We're already doing it.
Figuring stuff out. 16 minutes after the hour. Okay, well, there you go. You're going to get an idea. That's what the whole review is all about. I'm excited for it. I want the Hooligans to kind of get involved with that, too. Coming up next, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado one. Steve Adazio had a press conference. They start spring ball this weekend, if you can believe that. He talked a little bit about how he views the quarterback situation. So we'll talk about that next with Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And keep it here. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the hour, we're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. On to some Colorado State football talk, even though my games of the week is the CSU Air Force Series because of what it means to the Rams. We're talking football. We have spring football's getting ready to happen. Coach Adazio was talking to the media yesterday, and that includes, of course, Mr. Kevin Lytle, K Light of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Kevin, my friend, quarterbacks don't need to throw appropriately, man. I mean, that's not a big deal anymore. I'm not worried about how a quarterback throws.
Yeah, you're not alone, I guess.
Okay, I had to laugh at this. You guys were tweeting out. I saw your tweet, too. Basically, Coach Adazio said, hey, being a quarterback is not really about throwing pretty footballs. It's about winning games. I mean, I guess that kind of works sometimes for like a Tim Tebow guy, but ultimately, isn't that what it's about? I mean, we're talking, you know, any whether it's college or pros, whatever, we're talking about the quarterback and how well they can throw the football.
Yeah, it was a strange comment, certainly. And I'm glad you mentioned Tebow, because that was the thing that came to my mind. You know, Steve Adazio was at Florida with Tim Tebow and Chris Leak, you know, kind of certainly one of the first, I think, biggest, most prominent, you know, kind of two quarterback systems that we've seen. I'm sure there were others, but that one obviously was really big. And, you know, Tebow is a guy that didn't throw it very great, but certainly willed his teams to victory. But, gosh, man, college football has changed. It's pretty wide open. And also saying that Todd Santero, I'm not trying to knock Todd at all, so I want to make that clear. I'm not trying to knock him one bit, but saying that he's Tim Tebow, you know, would be a pretty bold statement. So it was a very weird thing to say. I mean, I do totally get, you know, the leadership aspects that Coach Adazio was talking about, but, you know, kind of saying that you don't have to be able to throw very well was sort of a weird statement.
Yeah, I thought it was weird. And trust me, if we could get a Tim Tebow situation like what happened in Florida, I mean, sign me up. I'm the first one in line. But, I mean, Kevin, you and I both know, obviously you just pointed out college football's changed, but Tim Tebow is one of the rare, rare quarterbacks that made it work. I mean, he made it work as a running quarterback. And like guys like Lamar Jackson in the NFL, they've transitioned their game. Tebow somehow made it work at the college field like that. So, I mean, that's a tall order, but all of that being said, it sounds like Todd Santeo, I mean, big goals, at least, from Coach Adazio and company for him next year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is by far the most frequently asked question that we get, you know, the journalists that cover CSU football. Everyone since the end of last season till forever from now asks who's going to be quarterback, and we keep saying it's Todd Santeo, it's Todd Santeo, it's Todd Santeo. But no one wants to believe it because, yeah, it's certainly for what CSU had, unconventional. But Steve Adazio, he's either putting on a real brave face and hiding it really well, or he really, really believes in this kid. And I think it's that. I think he is fully behind Todd Santeo and thinks he's going to be the guy. I mean, he brought him in as a transfer. He gave him that game one start that surprised, I think, almost everyone. He has shown time and time again that he believes in Todd Santeo. And so from that standpoint, I do appreciate what he's saying. You know, if you're Todd Santeo, you see these things, you have Twitter, you see what's being said. And to know your coach is behind you like that is a good thing. I mean, I certainly think that's a positive there of a quarterback knowing a coach believes in him. But it's going to be very different. I mean, the CSU offenses that we got used to, you know, for years and years, very clearly it's not going to be the case. And a kind of a side note is to Adazio's, you know, throwing comment, he also kind of made an argument that Centeio was the victim of some bad drops, which was definitely true. There were definitely some drops. Still not sure it completely makes up for some of the other, you know, the full picture of throwing issues, but he certainly was a victim there. So it's always a holistic thing. There's never one, you know, this is the 100% answer to this problem, but it's going to be a very interesting spring and then even more so fall heading into games.
I think it's going to be a tough, I'm curious to how Rams fans will react. And again, we got to see a season or a kind of somewhat season under Coach Adazio, but I got to think for Rams fans, this is going to be an interesting adjustment. I mean, you go from McElwain to Bobo, and Bobo, for all of his flaws, and maybe you can't even say that because he kind of got a raw deal. He gets sick and all that, and it just seems like things never got on track from there. But for all those issues, his offense was always, you know, pretty good, pretty high flying, and churned out a lot of great wide receivers. And it sure seems like, Kevin, we're going a completely different route. Wide receiver U, it seems like that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And you're already seeing that. I mean, Warren Jackson didn't play this year as he, you know, in 2020 as he prepared for the NFL. Nate Craig Myers, who never really got his feet under him and was a big impact player, but he is a guy with a, you know, huge recruiting resume. He's leaving. You see a number of guys go. Yeah, the last big one is Dante Wright, who is, if you can't find a ways to get that guy the ball, you really have issues because he's incredible. But beyond that, it does seem like the wide receiver you thing is probably becoming a thing of the past. We'll see. I mean, obviously, until we see, like you say, the full offense, it's, you know, the four games gave a glimpse of things, but it's pretty hard to draw huge conclusions from four games. So maybe, you know, the 21 season will look different than we expect it will. But yeah, I think it's fair to say everything is shifting in a different direction than it was under McElwain and then Bobo.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And you did see in that small sample, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it did seem kind of like there was a little more fight in that defense. And that's been something we've been craving for Colorado State for a while now is are you going to be a defense that's kind of the aggressor? And that's the big positive that I kind of took away. I'm very confused by the offense. I'm very confused by special teams and then the quarterback comment. But defensively, it did seem like there was some growth there, would you say?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said there, Brady. That defense, especially the defensive front, was really, really impressive. And players, you know, DaQuan Jackson yesterday even talked about, like, hey, we're an attacking defense. We're going to dictate what you do rather than us wait and see what you're doing and try and react to it, basically saying that that's what they had always done in the past. And so they're really good. You know, I think the back end, the secondary is still light on some of the talent they need. But if your front seven is really good, that can at least mask some of that issue. So yeah, I think if you're a CSU fan, your biggest point of optimism is there's every chance that this defense could be one of, you know, the best in the Mountain West. And with a front seven that good, you can create a lot of turnovers, you know, with sacks and things like that. So I think that's CSU's best bet for success right now and really most encouraging point because all those defensive line guys, you know, a couple of whom probably could have tested the NFL waters, they're coming back, you know, Manny Jones and Scott Patchen, most notably. And they've even added, you know, another Boston College transfer in there that Adazio's really hyped up. So I think that's a really good unit.
Yeah, well, I'm pumped to see at least the defensive side there. Kevin, what else? Anything else major that kind of stood out? I know we're all kind of jumping on the quarterback thing, and I'm sure Coach Adazio loves that going on Twitter. But anything else that may have stood out for you?
Yeah, I'm sure he is sick of quarterbacks being a question. But to be frank, it's going to be until it's proven otherwise. But the big thing, and it's nothing groundbreaking, but continued talk about the offensive front unit. That O-line needs to be better. They need to run the ball better, especially you know, with the shift in offense, they need to be able to dominate games up front. And they did it in very small segments now and then during 2020, but they need to be able to do a lot more. So, you know, unfortunately, no one's able to see anything during spring ball because campus is, you know, kind of closed to visitors, so to speak. But figure out who your top running back or running backs are and beef up that O-line are really big things that they're going to need going into the 21 season.
Yeah, there's question marks for sure surrounding this group. And how about the other one? I know, what's the situation with Luke McAllister? He gets to participate in spring ball, doesn't he?
Yep, so both Luke McAllister and Chance Harris, two of the three incoming freshman quarterbacks, enrolled early. So they are now, you know, at CSU taking classes. So yeah, they'll be on the field, you know, starting Saturday with the first spring practice. And that's really big, you know. That's certainly not to say either of them are going to go win the job or anything, but for not just freshman quarterbacks, but any freshman getting on campus early and getting your first spring ball, get some of the, you know, it's overwhelming. There's a ton that you have to learn, not just playbook, but, you know, everything, weightlifting, all these things that are ramped up, you know, a notch or two from high school. You get to do it in a little bit more relaxed setting of spring ball than, you know, trying to, you know, go through the whirlwind in the fall. So that's huge for those guys. And yeah, I mean, CSU, even if Todd Centeno's the guy, they need a backup, and freshmen certainly could be in the mix for that.
Yeah, well, I know that'd be interesting. Fan favorite there for sure. I always like, not that I like necessarily, but I'm always intrigued when there's position changes. And, you know, checking what you guys have had in the Colorado and for the past few articles about Justice McCoy, What's it looking like? Is jumping over to the wide receiver position, is that anything we should be looking out for, or what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Justice is a guy that's sort of quietly been the program forever, it feels like, but never really got a chance at quarterback. Mike Bobo super weirdly put him in for back-to-back possessions against San Diego State, and he threw picks on both of them. But he's a guy, yeah, he, you know, I noticed middle of last season he was warming up with receivers during games, and so he was kind of a receiver. And yeah, we've been told, yeah, he's basically shifted to receiver, but he's still, you know, kind of an emergency quarterback, I guess, if, you know, if there were some injuries or if, you know, there's just lack of quality play, they could move him back. But he's a guy that yeah, is pretty much a receiver, and as we kind of mentioned earlier, that spot is thin. There have been some defections, and behind Dante Wright and maybe Ty McCulloch, there's room there for someone to, you know, earn some, or several someones to earn some playing time. So it'll be interesting to see if Justice McCoy gets himself in the rotation.
Yeah, no question about it. How about the special team side of it? Is Coach talked any more about bringing in a co? What does that look like? Is Adazio still going to run that show?
So I mentioned earlier that by far the question we get most is who's quarterback. Number two is, are they hiring a special teams coordinator? And that answer also is not changing. Steve Adazio is the special teams coordinator, you know, so to speak, and is not going to change that. He, you know, he will insist up and down that he's had, you know, very successful special teams through his career, and that will continue here. He talked about it yesterday. He said, you know, watching the film, there are some really great clips of really successful special teams moments and some really horrendous clips of special teams moments, which of course everyone remembers, you know, the five touchdowns and six quarters allowed on special teams, which is still mind boggling. But yeah, he'll still run it. He, like I say, he thinks it's more just an experience thing of some guys, but we'll see. That's, again, sort of like quarterbacking. That's going to be a question mark for fans until, you know, several games well into the season where it isn't an issue.
Kevin, I always kind of view special teams. That's why I think that comment's interesting that he said about, hey, there were excellent times or there were some bad times. I kind of view special teams like offensive line play. You know, 90% of the time you do your job, it's that 10%. If you start getting a lot of holding calls, you give up sacks, that's what we pay attention to. So special teams, to me, you know, most of the time you're not paying attention to it. So yeah, by rights, most special team units, college, high, professional, whatever, should be looking good at times. It's just that when they look bad, in this situation, like you mentioned, they looked really bad, and that's those lose you games.
Yeah, exactly. And it needs to be a very high success rate because, like you say, sure, you know, 9 out of the 10 punts you didn't give up a touchdown, but the 10th one you did, and, yeah. and you lost a game by seven. They're game swinging moments. I think there are a number of teams that don't pay enough attention to the importance of special teams, and it can kill you. So yeah, it's one of those you need to be right. Even if you give up some yards on punt or something like that, you can't be giving up touchdowns. A special teams touchdown, I know all touchdowns are the same number of points, but they feel like more, don't they? I mean, when you're sitting at home watching on TV, doesn't it feel either better if your team does it or worse if your team allows one? It feels like the world is collapsing.
It's really interesting because on one hand, you can say, well, he's the head coach, and he's showing that he's taking a very vested interest in special teams because he's running it. But then there's also the other side that goes, wait a second, he's the head coach. He should be focused on other things and have a guy specifically for special teams. So, like I said, when I first found that out, I was like, oh, he's trying to prove that special teams is extremely important. But at the same time, it's like, man, you got a lot going on. Don't you want somebody focused on that unit at all times?
Yeah, you only have so many hours in a day, so many minutes in practice. It's sort of the same debate that a lot of people had about Mike Bobo calling plays is, okay, you might be a great play caller, but can you do that without neglecting other duties as a head coach? And so it's kind of similar. I mean, Steve Addazio has said that he's going to have a heavy hand in the offense and wants to be heavily involved in everything the offense does. Like, okay, so you're heavily involved in the offense. You run the special teams. Obviously, you'll be involved in the defense at least at some point because you're the head coach. It's like, okay, I mean, do you have the hours and day to do that all? And again, we'll find out.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of question marks surrounding this team. Like you said, some big ones there for sure that Coach Addazio probably has nightmares about. Kevin, big ones tomorrow, man. CSU, Air Force, and then Monday. But also, we're paying attention to that Boise State, San Diego State. Boise State couldn't. They made it interesting, man. They came all the way back, forced overtime. That was a fun game to watch. San Diego State took care of business in OT, and now I think Rams fans, okay, let's see if Boise State can win game two and the Rams take care of Air Force.
Yep, just before we spoke, I was writing about basketball because, yeah, finally, hopefully after 21 days, the Rams will be back. CSU, not to go full Al Davis on you, but just win, baby. They just have to find a way to win both these against Air Force. You cannot slip up against a bad Air Force team. Both for Mountain West reasons and NCAA tournament reasons. And yeah, by 4 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to know a lot because CSU and then the Boise San Diego State games tip at the same time. So about the time CSU is wrapping up, we'll know what happened in that really pivotal Boise San Diego State series. So 24 hours from now or a little bit more, we'll know a lot more about the shape of the Mountain West.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's fun to watch these Mountain West games, too. Like I said, last night's game was a lot of fun. Kevin, appreciate you taking us through all that, man. Love what you do, as always. Keep up the great work. We'll look out for that write-up on Colorado State basketball as well.
Thanks, Brady. Fun talking to you.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, a few things stood out there. Coach Addazio is still going to be the special teams coach. That's interesting. I mean, Cole, I hire you to go, just pay attention to special teams, man. Just pay attention to it.
Just pay attention.
Yeah, that's it. Quarterbacks don't necessarily need to throw a pretty ball. They just got to win. Okay, now I know we're roasting Coach for that. I will say this. There are quarterbacks that sometimes don't throw. Like, I was talking to somebody about it today. Peyton Manning didn't always have the prettiest spiral. It wasn't always the tightest spiral, especially later in his career. But he got it there. So, I mean, I can get where he's coming from there, but it's just an odd thing because in this day and age of quarterbacks and the pressure that a quarterback has, the competition, it's a strange thing to say that they don't have to have a pretty football. They just got to win. We'll see. Hey, I like running quarterbacks. They're fun. They're fun to watch. They're entertaining. So I'm down, but certainly a bit skeptical. But I'm always skeptical until we see it proven on the field. He's definitely changing things around completely from the Bobo McElwain days. Maybe that's a good thing, though, because we did see a better defense, and I want to see this Rams team with a fun defense, with kind of an aggressive defense, and I think you got a glimpse of that. That's the big positive. 39 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
45 minutes after the hour. Busy show today, man. Wow. Well, it was a busy Thursday night. It was nuts. I had a hard time tracking everything. A lot of basketball games that I was interested in. Colorado beat up on USC. They beat up on USC. That's the thing, man. I tweeted out last night. I said, this team is either good enough to do some serious damage in March Madness, or they're bad enough to be eliminated first round rather easily. Odds are they're going to be good enough. They're playing better. And they've got their record for most wins in the Pac-12. So that was a big deal for them. We were trying to get Coach Boyle on the program today. We're going to get him on Tuesday instead. So we're going to see how the weekend goes for the Buffs as well. But that was a big night for CU. Colorado, they will be going dancing. So those of you putting pressure on Coach Boyle, he's going again. And then last night, the Mountain West Conference battle, Boise State, San Diego State. San Diego State wins in overtime. And, you know, that they fell apart in that game. Boise State crawled all the way back, and that was a lot because San Diego State just couldn't get it right. I mean, I thought, man, they're imploding here. But they found a way, you know, at least held it to overtime, and then they figured it out then. So I got to tell you, both those teams look really, really good, and they're really fun to watch. But when you're really hoping that Boise State can get the win, because with the Aztecs getting a win over it, Derek Alston Jr. though for Boise State is so good. He's so much fun to watch. He had 29 points, 2 boards, 2 assists. Had some kind of bonehead mistakes late in that game, as did a lot of these guys. There was a lot of weird turnovers. So that was a crazy one. Obviously, UNC beating Portland State was great to catch up with Coach Steve Smiley. I hadn't talked to him in a while. Bears have been off forever, it seems like, but good to see a couple of wins under their belt as we're getting closer to the conference tournament. The Nuggets and the Wizards, that was the interesting one. Now, I do think the Wizards are good. I know their record doesn't show it, but they are starting to turn it up. There's just no excuse for that last play. And you know, the whole idea that Jamal should have just... I got people commenting on Facebook, on our Facebook page, on the whole show page, that if Jamal's going to pull up on the three-point line, he better be ready to take it. What kind of superstar is that? I mean, if it's... Okay, who do you want shooting the last-second three? Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr.? I mean, you could probably go either or, right? Okay, who do you want shooting a last-second three? A semi-covered Jamal Murray or a wide-open Michael Porter Jr.? Yeah, you want wide-open. So Jamal's thinking was, I'm going to roll out left. I'm going to stop, suck in that. I think that's what I believe. The defender's going to stop on me. Porter's going to cut to the rim. I'm going to hit him. We're going to go to overtime. But Harrison Wynn told us at DNVR Nuggets, Porter basically said, you know, yeah, I should have went to the basket, but I was kind of thinking about a win. Especially when you haven't had a timeout, which I don't think Malone should have called a timeout. They had the 3-on-1. You're not going to get a better situation than that. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll play that clip for you with Murray and Malone. We'll finish up the show with that, give our final thoughts. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Think your bracket can win it all? Join the Hull Show's Bracket Challenge and hear the latest in hoops on 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hulligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
I hope this isn't the kind of play that kind of comes back and haunts the Nuggets. Like, this is one of those that's really tough. Nobody was really on the same page. Here's Jamal Murray. He took ownership of this on Twitter. He basically said, that one's on me, Nuggets Nation. And I have a lot of respect for that. But he still called it what it was. Here's Jamal Murray.
Come on, guys. Come on, man. Come on, man. Lock in. I'm playing basketball. 4-on-1. Somebody should go to the rim. I thought Mike was going on the rim. He stopped for three. He might have thought I was shooting it. And I should have shot it. I gave Facu a bad pass. I gave him a really bad pass. And I didn't own the clock either, so that's why I put it on me, because I think if I'm going to stop at a three, I got to shoot it. And if Mike's running the lane, you got to go to the rim, especially when there's other guys behind him. So I guess it's just a tough play where we didn't know what we were doing. We just got to score. But there's a whole other game as a whole of the game.
So what do you think? Do you like that he took ownership, or did he still kind of not take ownership?
I feel like he split the ownership.
He split the ownership. I want him to be the leader, so I liked it. But at the same time, like, if you're going to say it's on me, I don't know that you want to kind of... But Porter should have went to the... But that's the truth of it. The truth of it is Porter should have cut to the basket. That's the biggest thing. Here's Mike Malone shortly after Jamal.
We had a layup. You know, it's a 3-on-1 break. You know, all Michael Porter's got to do is cut to the basket. All Jamal Murray's got to do is push the ball and attack. But we didn't get that. We got a Faku 3, and obviously... It didn't go in.
See, in a normal situation, I if it was like debatable, I don't like saying a coach calling out a player like that. But Colfax, it's got to get through Porter Jr.'s head. This wasn't a bonehead play. This was Porter thinking, "I'm going to win. Get me the ball in the corner." When you go for the sure thing, force overtime.
Right. That just seems like kind of a rookie move. Is thinking only about the win and not thinking about the bigger picture.
Right. You know, what do I got to... And I know you think you're confident, and you think highly... Well, he passed up an open three early, like a few possessions before that. Jamal Murray shot it off his back foot with two people on him earlier and decided not to shoot there. I do like that Jamal said, you know, at the end of the day, if I'm going to stop at that three-point line, I got to shoot it. And if Porter's running the wing, he's got to go. So he's basically saying, it probably started with me. If I don't stop at the three-point line, then Porter keeps going. So I do kind of like that. He tweeted it, said it was on me, and I hope they can get it right. I don't know why, and I'm not there every single day. The media is there. Harrison Wynn's there. Chris Dempsey's there. I still feel like there's something there, some kind of annoyance. Hopefully they can get it right. We'll get back at it on Monday. We'll see. The Nuggets are back at it against OKC on Sunday. There's Preps basketball on tonight. We got UNC Hoops tomorrow afternoon. No reason to leave Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFK. Colfax and I and the gang are off to William Oliver's Public House in Fort Collins. We'll let you know how it goes. Good night, Northern Colorado.